I can tell you at 8:30, we struggled and wrestled with this passage for a good 20 minutes as we struggled with whether we heard it as it was, or we were listening to the Matthew version, whether we were listening with our ears, looking for the words that we find in the King James version that we just recently prayed when we prayed together and the choir sang, so that we might not hear God's word for us today because we're too busy listening for the word we know. We're too busy listening for that which is familiar to us, that maybe in the strangeness of how this is presented through Luke, God may be saying something to us we had not expected. So this is happening after Jesus has visited Martha and Mary and told Martha that she needed to do the one thing. And the one thing was to keep herself focused on Jesus, focused on God, focused on the things of God's world, not the things of the human world. So his disciples kind of challenge him, I think, with that. And they want to know how to pray. Hey, give me a skill. If you give me a skill set, then I'll know that I'm doing it right. Isn't that what we want? We want to know we're doing it right. So tell me how to do it so I can do it right. You've told us we have to be focused this way. John the Baptist told his people how to pray. You teach us how to do it. So Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. And now, how many of you in your heads just went on earth as it is in heaven? Isn't that what? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's not there. It's just your kingdom come. And then immediately, give us each day our daily bread. Give. Not, Lord, please give us our daily bread. Not, Lord, if you find me worthy, give me my daily bread. Just give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. And do not bring us to that time of trial. Jesus is not telling us to be polite and nice and quiet and reverent, is he? Anyone who studies English and studies grammar, give, forgive, do not bring. These are pretty imperative statements, aren't they? Jesus is saying when we pray to God, we pray with that power of imperative statement. Give me this day, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We're not saying, please forgive us our sins. We're saying, forgive us our sins. And then do not bring us, or as we know it, do not lead us into temptation. Isn't that how we know it? Do not bring us, do not lead us. Do you pray that way? Do you demand things of God? Do you think to demand things of God? Jesus is saying we can. And then, as he explains it later, if we ask, if we seek, if we're persistent, God will give us what God is going to give us, which is, did you pay attention to that last verse? The Holy Spirit. God will empower us with the Holy Spirit to do what? And this is what I think is the hinge of this prayer, that we sometimes don't realize that this is the hinge. Your kingdom come. When we ask God to give us, to forgive us, to save us, to deliver us, we're asking it in terms of God's kingdom, that we are demanding God's kingdom come. Don't we want God's kingdom to come right now? Jesus is telling us in the midst of this instruction that when we ask to give us this day our daily bread, to give us this day what we need. Give us, you know, if we need something to be given something, right? Give us this day our daily bread. So obviously we need to be fed. So give us what we need for your kingdom to come. Give us this day what we need to be the vision of your kingdom here on earth today. Give us this day your daily bread so others may see your kingdom come. Forgive us our sins. Forgive what keeps us from seeing your kingdom here. Forgive us our sins that keep us out of the kingdom that is to come. All of this prayer hinges on kingdom resurrection. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. That's sounding like we've already done it, doesn't it? Have you? Have I already forgiven everyone who is indebted to me? So if we're asking Jesus to forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, are we asking God to forgive us as we have forgiven? And if we haven't forgiven, what does that mean we're asking God to do? To judge? But to forgive us so that we might forgive as Christ forgives, so that God's kingdom may come. Not only kingdom come here, but the kingdom will come here. This is kingdom within as well as kingdom without. So we continue to pray for the Lord to take away those things that separate us from God's kingdom, so that we may become visions of God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. That the Holy Father, the Heavenly Father, will give you the Holy Spirit. So think about that. This prayer is the things that open us up so that we might be the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit. And when we are the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit, then people can see what the kingdom would look like by how we act and how we live and how we breathe. In Sunday school this morning, the Wesleyan Way, we were talking about the question, the feeder question was, who in your life has been kind of a kingdom person? Who did you see Christ in the most in your life? And I was reminded of two very special women in my life that were kingdom people that showed me this thing that Jesus is asking us to pray ourselves into. One of them, I can't even remember her name. I just remember the setting. I was working in Havelock, North Carolina in the human resources office. Now, human resources offices often are cesspools of humanity because we see the worst and the best of people as they come in looking for jobs and as we have to fire them from their jobs. It's just an ugly place sometimes. And there I was, this woman searching for Christ, not really knowing where to find Christ or where to find a church. So what did I do? I looked for kingdom people. I looked around the office to find people who might be what I would consider a Christian, what I might consider someone who had the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I could see God's kingdom had come to that person. And there was this one woman, and she worked in EEO of all places, equal opportunity, and she never said a bad word about anybody. She assisted everybody no matter what their need was, and she fought for things that she needed to fight for. So this particular woman, I went up to her and I said, what church do you go to? Because she claimed Christ. She claimed Christ in the office all the time. She prayed for people whenever they needed prayer. And she went to First United Methodist Church in Havelock, North Carolina. And that's how I became a United Methodist, because I saw the kingdom in a woman. Then years later, when I was in Okinawa, Japan, there was another woman by the name of Amy Zent, and I know Amy, and I know her well. She was a principal with federally operated schools overseas. And she came from Korea to Okinawa. In Korea, she started a Tres Dias community. Tres Dias is similar to what we know as Walk to Emmaus. Tres Dias, 3 days. You spend 3 days learning how to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And she built up Tres Dias communities in Okinawa. So she built up disciples in Okinawa. Her office and in her schools always had Christian symbols, Christian pictures. This was a woman that you knew when you saw her, that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was there. And when she came to Okinawa, she found a Roman Catholic Crucio de Cristo group. They formed a new group of Tres Dias, and a new group of Christians began to nurture other disciples. We had Vida Nueva, which is, Wes will tell you, that's where he came to Christ, at a Vida Nueva weekend. And now he's pastoring somewhere. Amy Zent goes to Redbird Mission and serves there. She continues to, I don't know if she continues, I haven't been in touch with her in a while, but she was going to Europe, to Germany, to help someone else start another Tres Dias community. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying that God will give us what we need so that we might be kingdom people. We're praying that God will forgive our sins that separate us from God and from others, and that we will learn to forgive as God forgives. And we are praying that God will keep us away from the things that separate us so that we might be kingdom people with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And that we should expect God to do this, because these are imperatives. Give, forgive, do not bring. Your kingdom come. These are not just soft spoken words. These are real, true, nitty gritty, deep down, hard words that we are expecting God to do what God has said God will do. And when we pray it with that expectation that God will first do it here. So the kingdom comes first here, not just on earth, but within us. So let's pray again the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen and amen.